Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. This year, the theme on our platform is positive action. The information I provide is designed to equip and empower parents and caregivers to take at least one conscious, focused, positive action today toward helping your child shift from nonverbal communication into unprompted spoken language. There's no time like now to make the necessary changes you need to see the success that you want for the late talker in your life. So let's get started.
Today, I'm going to be giving you 6 ways to improve your child's auditory processing system naturally, and using language facilitation strategies that I recommend for parents that, you know, help them get their kids talking. And the reason that we need to think about today, I'm encouraging you to think today about the auditory processing system, because that area in the development of language is often gone sort of unrecognized. Most of the time, we are evaluating a child's output and understanding, ability to respond quickly to some kind of directions. That's how we test kids. That's how, you know, typically that happens. And it is those professionals who are interested in understanding how a child's auditory processing system works that will be better at facilitating language, because when you understand why the system isn't working as well as it's working, and we know what it takes to improve that system, then we know what actions will get results. So what I am here to tell you today is, if your child has some other sort of bigger diagnosis, like auditory sensory processing disorder or autism, those are processing kinds of disorders, which mean that neurologically, the child's brain, and this is what's identified on neurological studies that are conducted all around the world on children who have autism and autism-like characteristics. Because when we talk about what autism is, they just use these series of characteristics to determine whether a child meets these skills. So in the studies that I read, these were children who were delayed in speaking and also had other sensory characteristics, sensory behaviors. So in a child who has other sensory, evident sensory problems, they are also seeing on MRI studies that these children, the pathways, the auditory processing neural pathways necessary for language development are underdeveloped in children who are diagnosed on the autism spectrum. This is studies all over. You can search for autism MRI studies. Harvard did them. Yale did them. Columbia did them. You can look them up if you want. But what I'm here to tell you is, I looked up those studies and I understood that if that neurological pathway is indeed underdeveloped in children who also have delayed talking, late talking development, then it seems quite necessary, of course, for us to facilitate improvement of these neurological systems. And it is the complex systems of them, all the parts of it, that need to be facilitated in order for the complex language structures to develop. But many of the interventions, same problem, auditory processing problem, many of the interventions that are typical, like things like flashcards, memorization sorts of techniques, where you teach a child how to label a series of words, colors, shapes, body parts, things like that. You expect them to memorize those things, and then you test them later. Show me your nose. Where's your nose? And they learn how to do that. That's a memorization way for a child to be able to basically pass a test when you test them to do. So that kind of skill does develop neural pathways. All learning develops neural pathways. But what you want to understand is they're not developing auditory processing pathways. They are developing the memorization areas of the brain and the visual areas of the brain in the back part and the front part. But they're not developing the language processing, the connection that's involved. You do need to memorize words when you use language, and you do need to relate the words that you understand with the things that you see, feel, hear, see, touch, all of that stuff that happens back here, the physical reality of how you perceive the world and how you memorize it. That's how people typically teach children to talk, by memorizing words and things like that. But it doesn't develop that auditory processing system, because in order to develop an auditory processing system, you have to actually listen, focus on someone talking in a functional situation that you can relate to something you already have memorized or seen, feel, see, you know, hear, see in the 3D world, experienced, something you've experienced and something you've memorized, that experience. And usually feelings help you memorize those things. We don't know where memories are stored. You can't like pull them out in an object, but we know that the area of the brain that controls the ability to memorize things happens up here in the frontal lobe. So when we're talking about a brain and we're talking about auditory processing, it's about the connection, the whole part in here that's missing between that memorized stuff and the experiences, the process, the language, to be able to have it come out naturally from your child. And if the auditory processing system that we know in kids who have other processing issues, sensory processing issues, are underdeveloped, now I'm going to tell you six ways to move forward and develop those things, which, by the way, is affected in a really big, like 20% of the population of humans have some kind of effect in their language auditory processing system. So any adults, you know, even if we're talking about 20% of the population, 2 out of 10 people you know have a little bit more trouble keeping up with jokes, conversation, understanding fast things that are coming at them. These might be the people in your life that are really good at working with their hands and not the chit-chatty kind of type, the strong silent type folks. Those people, their auditory processing systems might be functioning a little bit more slowly than their visual and motor processing systems. Those systems could be on fleek. That's why you see artists and people who are wonderful creative minds, even scientists, are not very good at the chit-chat, but they're wonderful with the logic, the right brain, left brain kind of people. These people who are more right-brained use the more logic part of their brain. They are not practicing because of the things they like. They're not practicing listening and showing off like a child who enjoys music and interaction. So it's important to know that if this is showing up in your child, you may be able to see it in their personality. You don't necessarily have to have an MRI to know that your child is having trouble processing spoken language. That's what auditory processing is. The action of the brain has nothing to do with the ears. Ears have to be working well so the right sounds go in. But this is the brain's problem, neurological problem. That's why they say autism is a neurological disorder, because it affects the brain's processing of input. Physical input depends on what sensitivities your child is showing, but auditory and language processing usually goes hand in hand with that diagnosis. Now, the way that you improve auditory processing, we used to think that you couldn't do it. You couldn't make changes because kids were sort of born this way. If you've ever heard that your child is not wired the same as other people, it's probably true. Their wiring is faulty in there, if you want to use an analogy like that. And here's what you do. Whenever, think about an electrician who has to splice some information together, or if you're trying to connect your data connection on your phone to your data connection in your computer, you use the data from your phone to power up your computer, or vice versa. If you're trying to share the goods between two devices, that's how neurologically what we call neural plasticity works. And that's what happens when the good parts of your brain work with the parts that aren't working very well to boost them up, to help them get built up. And over time, if you use the things that you're good at to practice the things that you're not so good at, those things you're not so good at, you build new neural pathways to work around areas. This is how people, after they've had strokes or head injuries or bleeds or anything like that, and then they have surgery and they recover, or some of the bleed goes away, they have what's called spontaneous recovery. And that's because the brain, even if there were areas of the brain that were completely physically damaged, the brain learns how to grow new neural pathways. That's called neural plasticity. And in order to develop auditory processing neural plasticity, we have to connect brain working neurons that are working great in your child with the language processing areas that maybe aren't working so well. So the strategies I'm going to give you today will work to help you develop your child's auditory processing system if, and only if, your child is consciously focused on listening to your talking. So the first thing that I have to tell you, if you want to see a change in this process, is we're using language facilitation talk. And the purpose of that language facilitation talk, yep, it's to get your kid talking. How do we do that? We develop the child's auditory processing system so that they are able to learn how to use language and eventually practice that language on their own. When they have learned how it works, they try it out on their own. They make a bunch of mistakes. You help guide them with good language models, and the new language develops, the new pathways, because the child is very highly motivated to want to learn. So we're getting into some of the things that are causing these changes. You get where I'm going here. Number one, we have to say the right words, words that your child wants to hear, wants to listen to, is on the edge of their seat, eager to hear and listen to you say. And it must be their words, the words they are thinking. And that's how, when you're in the zone, I talked about that on last week's video, when you're in the zone with your child, you can understand what those words are. And if you are providing even the other things that I'm getting ready to tell you right now that are required to develop neural pathways, but you're using the wrong words, you're going to block your child's attention from the very beginning, and none of these other strategies will work. So the next thing we're going to talk about is how to change what language models you're providing. First of all, we know we have to do the right words, the child's words. This next part, what's really fun and what is kind of like the gasoline on the fire for the right words modeled, is when we present them in a way that's super interesting and able for your child's slower auditory processing brain to catch every sound in every word. So you can probably guess where we're going. We've got to slow down. Number two is slow down 5 times. Start with your language models 5 times as slow as you are currently speaking now. That sounds like this slow. Really slow talking, where vowels are stretched out, sounds that have stops are popped. You know, they're very slow and accentuated. all the parts of the talking. Every sound in every word. 5 times as slow as you are talking right now. So if you are using the words that your child is thinking, the ones they have memorized, the ones they know, and their processing system is up to 5 times too slow, this strategy will help your child catch all the things that you are saying. Now, we don't know how slow your child's processing is. There are some tests that people can give to kids to try to figure that out, but they're usually so complicated, the tests themselves, the kids have to be a lot older than most toddlers when you're trying to figure out if this is even a problem. So this is how you are going to do your analysis. When you use this slow talking, you have to set a timer and try to do it. Your goal is for 20 minutes of speech in that kind of rate. And I recommend that you choose one event and just everybody during the event is going to use this slow talking. It has to be something easy, usually something that you can do, that you do every day, like getting dressed, bath time, times right before you go to bed, times right when you wake up in the morning, times when you're riding in the car. Your goal is to get 20 minutes of slow speech exposure into your child, right? So they've got to be interested and listen to you. That's why the bath time is good for this and the car ride is good for this, because they're already in one space. You've got them in a small area, strapped into a car seat or in a bathtub, where they aren't going to want to get up and run away when you start talking too slowly. Remember, you're engaged with the activity with them. It's important that they are listening to you and you're talking about the things, and they're going to think it's odd, because it is. It sounds odd, and it's going to be challenging for you to do, to talk this slowly. But this is one way for you to engage your child's attention and focus on all the sounds that they're missing because the speech is too fast. So if you want to make sure your child is processing everything you say, one strategy is to talk super slowly, okay? So we've talked about the right words and we've talked about the rate of the words is number two. The third thing that you can change in how you talk is the pitch of your talking, the high or low in how you're talking, and the sing-songy. So now, instead of just readjusting your rate, you are also readjusting the pitch and the melody or sing-song. So sometimes you need to use a really slow and low voice, because the pitch might get your child's attention. Because your job, remember, 20 minutes of language models to see how much you can get in there, it has to be attractive. If it's slow and droney like this and just super slow, your child, even if they are in the car, is not going to want to listen to that. And most kids who have slow auditory processing systems, they maybe don't catch the words or the sounds in the words. They don't catch the sounds. They might be trying to say words that are only parts of words, or they are saying just, you know, even noises. They're not even using saying the words yet at all, but they might be using intonation in their voice. If your child loves rhymes, they could sing, you know what I mean? They're just not hearing all of the individual things. They're hearing it, but they're not processing all of the individual sounds because they're too fast, but they are catching the melody, right? So we know that speed is an issue and listening to slow talking is necessary. So here's how you connect what your child loves. So things like their love of music. If they love the sing-songy, add a little bit more sing-song into the words that you're using, or even make up songs with the words that you are modeling. So it looks like slow talking with, let's say you're brushing your teeth. Wow, let's put the toothpaste on now. Squish the toothpaste. Mama is squishing. Squishy toothpaste. Brush your teeth, brush, 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 brush your teeth, brush, brush, brush. So there was a little bit of melody, a little bit of high and low in the talking I did. It was natural kinds of talking, and it was not any kind of structured thing. It was just language models, but I sang a little bit with it after I did the brush, brush, brush part. So adding melody to your slow language models will get your child's attention and then build the pathways for the melody and rhymes are going real well. They've listened and heard that and developed that level of processing already better. So even if they were babies, if they've listened to the same songs over and over and over again, they're listening to the same rhythms and melodies and things like that. And so that pathway is building, and you want to latch on to the good stuff for the challenging things, the actual words and letters and sounds. So singing and melody together with your good language models will help develop the neuroplasticity by binding those good things with the other things that are more challenging for your child's brain. Okay, moving into the next one. So we talked about pitch and also making sure that you are honoring your child's sensory needness, their sensory issues. So that's the next one is, yes, you're providing these models, but you have to constantly be analyzing your child to see if you are maintaining focus. So it's got to stay interesting. And the way you do that is by leaving gaps in your models, okay? And this is how you know if your child is staying with you and they're staying in the zone and they're still listening. You can't be on and on and on and on and on. You've got to give them a break to gather, process this nice, slow information, do a little integration before you throw the next bit of information at them. It can't be a constant stream. There have to be breaks in the language models to give your child's brain a chance to practice the processing. Okay, the more they have a chance to listen and practice, then they're going to get going. So we've got say the right words, slow down, add some sing song to engage with your child's memories and development of auditory processing for music, and use rhythm and sing song, make up songs like that too. And make sure you leave spaces. The rhythm is the space. So we say a little bit. Process, process. We say a little bit more. And we smile and we look and we encourage because your child, the gears are turning in their head. And you want to smile and look because you're wanting them to look at you and smile. Staying with me? You got me? And you can check in the space to make sure your child is keeping up with your models. You got that? Get high fives, get thumbs up, get demonstration. Look at me. Wow, you try it. Instead of asking your child to regurgitate what you've modeled for them, just see, watch them, and see if they're getting it. If they're looking at you and smiling, then they're listening. Your child doesn't have to be focused on your face to know that they are processing your language. They can sometimes need to look away from you, focus on something else like this, and think because they can't process the vision and the auditory at the same time. So when you are providing language models for your child and you leave these spaces. And you'll see when you stop talking, your child will look to you to wait for you to provide the next model. If they don't turn around and look at you, then you know they're not engaged. They're not processing. So always constantly monitoring. You can't just go on drone. You've got to be a conscious talker. Make sure that you are engaging the child in listening to you to maintain it, okay? All right. I see a question came in. I've just got a couple more and then I will get to your question. All right. So the next thing that we're going to talk about, we've got rate, we've got pitch, we've got rhythm. Oh, yeah. So the next thing is motor movement. Okay. So most lay talkers are super good with their bodies. In fact, they're using their bodies to communicate a lot more than they're using their mouth right now. Because remember, their auditory systems aren't working, but these things, the real life things, see, hear, feel, see, taste, touch, all that stuff, even noises they've heard, they're not processing it as language, but they know what a noise is and they can make noises and they can respond to noises. But all of these things in the real world, they're good at, right? And one of the biggest is movement, and they like it. And most of the time, kids who have problems processing auditory information, they like to go because subconsciously in our brain, and there's neurological studies to prove it, movement triggers speech. So some kids will move on their own, run, pace, flap, toe walk, because they're actually trying to push themselves up while they're walking. Just walking isn't enough because they are trying to get this gasoline on their auditory processing fire gone by creating movement opportunities for their neurological system. And when their system and feels this movement, the speech comes. It's like when you're thinking and you're tapping, or you don't even realize, like me, and you're moving your hands, right? This movement that I do with my hands is my brain's ability to keep my language flowing. That music, these gestures that we use our hands for that don't mean anything necessarily, they're just mimes or things we do, or we flail them around. Our brains, there's no random reason. There's an actual reason our brains move our bodies while we're projecting our ideas, because it's like we want to get them out. We want to throw them out, especially if you're passionate like me. I want you to see it. I want you to experience this message in all those ways, and my body subconsciously makes movement to somehow get you to help me understand, or at least understand how passionate I am. And this is how it works with little kids too. Those kids who love movement and their auditory processing system is challenged, your opportunity to provide language models that we talk about while they are moving, while they're swinging, while they're jumping, while they're big movements, but it doesn't even have to be a big movement. It can be while they're scribbling, while they're doodling, while they're writing on a chalkboard, even while they're clicking a mouse, moving one finger, daddy finger, like making hand gestures, like me flailing their arms while they're talking. Think about a kid who's excited. They don't look a lot different than me, right? It's just a more organized, like they're really trying to use this flapping to get their speech going. So number one, if you see any of that kind of stuff and you think that it's just a child stimming because they can't handle it or whatever, look very, very closely. And if your child is trying to communicate something but they're frustrated, you will always see a physical behavior come out of it. They'll throw themselves on the floor or they'll throw an object. I just did an interview with a mom whose child was a chronic vomiter. That was his illness. And when he stopped throwing up, he started throwing objects because his body like needed to throw his ideas to the world. And his mom, every time he threw up, she responded, of course. So that's what helped him carry his nonverbal communication system with his parents. And kids will stick with it long term if this auditory processing system doesn't get developed. It's like teaching a child to walk with broken legs. We've got to develop the system. We've got to develop the muscles of the brain so that this language can develop. And fortunately, when you are developing the muscles of your body, if you're doing focused language facilitation at the same time, you can develop those neural pathway systems. And in fact, in order to get the best, you must involve some kind of movement and music. Using movement and music is what, that's why all the best strategies that have worked for you and the things that your child loves are fun and work for you, because it, neurologically, those pathways are real close together. We process music using the same systems we process language, but it's not, they're more general. It's just the melody and the tone, but they're right next door. So they can jump right over it when you add the actual spoken language, functional spoken language, but it has to be appropriate for the child in the moment. You can't just have a child jump on a trampoline and teach them a list of vocabulary words, because remember, we're not triggering that processing system. You're just triggering that memory system and that processing system. So yeah, you can teach your child to improve their memory and processing. If you have them jumping on a trampoline or swinging on a swing, their language, anything will improve when you involve those mechanisms. That's why OTs are so successful, and that's why speech therapists that work with OTs get the most improvement with their kids, because they're using those connected neurological systems to fuel their fire. And the speech is helping the child focus on the motor movement as they talk about the actual motor movement. So it helps the OT. That's why speech and OT work so well together. Okay? So movement is key. So let's see. I think we've got all through those. Then the last one that I have, and then I have a number 7 for a bonus one. But let's just talk about that now. This is the last one that I have. I think this is number 6. It's kind of a disorganized video, but as you get through and you'll understand what these are. So the last one is touch, right? And this is where I say it last, because it's always the first thing that people go to try to somehow physically manipulate your child's physical outside body, doing the same thing over and over again. Because again, they're good at learning, watching you and imitating what you're doing with your body. So using things like pointing to pictures or sign language or gestures like I am, and turning those things into language, is one of the ways to bridge a child's very, very, very slow neurological system. Okay. If you've got a child with seizures or, you know, very, very high level involvement, brain injury, agenous corpus callosum, Down syndrome, you know, where we're talking about massive damage to the auditory processing system by whatever happened. In those cases only, you can start with tactile reinforcement, but it has to be functional tactile reinforcement, and it never involves the mouth. It always involves just a way for your child to relate the actual language processing system to a physical touch. So those parents who are modeling words like the snake says, and you know, like if you're playing with sounds and you include a physical tap or a squeeze or a hug, I'm hugging you, hugging you, hug, hug, hug. Ooh, it feels good to hug you. That kind of language model that involves actually physically touching your child to teach them is only necessary if these other methods don't start to see improvement. Because right now, your child is good at using their body to both understand their visual system and their physical system to communicate with you, okay? They're already good at that. And if you start to use cues that help them stay in that comfort zone, they're not going to take the leap and try to listen harder. Okay? They will always try to drag you down into demonstrating, getting for them, doing it for them, because that's how they've trained you for your whole life. So only use physical manipulation or tactile cues when you're touching not your child's face, but another part of your body. Clapping the rhythm of the stuff. You know, the words you are saying don't have to be real draggy out. It can be poppy as long as your child is listening. Like if you're, maybe they're dropping off the final consonant and you're trying to teach them, your name is Joey. Two parts. Joey. I gave a visual, a auditory, a physical thing to see. And even if I high five Joey two syllables for his name, those are ways that you can use visual and physical stimulation to get a kid's connecting working, right? If it gets to higher level or articulation kinds of things, but it has to be functional. Right? We hugged while we were hugging and we were happing, not when I was trying to calm him down from a tantrum. If I was trying to calm a child down from a tantrum, I'm not going to talk about how much I love them. I'm going to talk about how upset they are and why they're upset and what I want to do in the physical 3D world to help them be less upset. I don't want to talk about the fact that I'm throwing some solution on you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to make a change for you. If you want your child to develop their own auditory processing system, because you can't get in there, there's no tools. The tools are language models. They need to hear the words they missed because their auditory system is broken. Okay? It's not broken, it's just underdeveloped. But all the highways around it are popping. The motor highway is popping. The rhythm highway is popping. The sing-songy highway is popping. And the attention for the things that your child loves is popping. But that auditory pathway, crickets, nothing going on. It's like the desolate highway in the middle. It needs the feeders from these other pathways to help it develop. And these strategies that I told you today are going to be the way to do it. So I hope that was helpful for everybody. If you have a child who's, especially if you have a child who's diagnosed on the autism spectrum with some kind of processing things. So Sujata, I do have your question here that says, hi, ma'am, how are you? I'm great. So glad you're joining me today. My child was talking normally until the age of 2.5 years. His speech gradually decreased. We didn't take it seriously then, but now he's 7 years and we're continuing with speech therapy. Kindly give me some more suggestions for him to recover as soon as possible. So, and hi, Oleana, thanks for joining me. So, Sujata, first of all, thanks for joining me. I'm so glad you're here. If your child's already 7 years old, I promise you there are lots of things that are going on that your child has and you have done as habits and patterns in your household that are blocking the natural developmental language process. So my first recommendation for everybody who's visiting me for the first time is to do one of two things. Visit on my website, wavesofcommunication.com, and watch the free class that I have there for parents. It will help you understand what I'm talking about with these blockages. And whatever happened, there's a big analysis, like just to understand, yes, your child was talking and now they're not. That's a good indication that they will talk again, especially if there's no other physical things going on. But there certainly is something going on that's blocking your process, or your child would be talking. It probably is this auditory processing issue that I'm talking about today. So you could try just what I said, talking, using some of these strategies when you talk to your child and see if that makes a difference. That's a place to start. But if you want to learn the entire process to take your child, figure out all the blockages, because if you don't get rid of all of them, you won't make progress. Your child will always pull you back into guessing what they want and manipulating you, especially if he's 7 years old. He probably only comes to you to get things when he wants them or he can't get them himself. You know, he's probably on his own learning to do many things on his own. So you can learn the process in a few different ways, but you have to learn it and you have to change for whatever you're doing now. The first way is you can find the process in my book. This is my book. It's called If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun. Teach Your Child to Talk Faster Than Speech Therapy. The whole process is in the book. You can find it on Amazon, Kindle, and Audible. You can find it in the book, okay? The other place is to get it in my independent study course. The sale just ended. It is a $500 investment for you to learn the entire process. Takes you through everything that I train parents in my starter program, coaching program, but it is 100% independent study. But it will take you all the way from where you are now to conversational speech in multiple languages, if you want, and social communication with other people. All that information is in my independent study course. And if you want to know how to just bypass all the independent study and have me teach you, my goal is to teach every parent how to always analyze your own family situation so that you know when you're doing things that are blocking the process and you know what to do instead. Okay. So I equip you with understanding how to do your analysis and the right strategies that will work for your family. No matter how many kids in your family, no matter how severe your child is, no matter how old they are, no matter anything, as long as you can speak English and listen to me, I can teach you how to teach your child to talk. It's a systematic process that I've used with hundreds of families across the world, and I've done it for 30 years as a speech therapist, and it works for families. So you can learn this whole process yourself, or you can sign on and work with me, and I can train you. But it is very, very common for children who have talked before and stop talking, and they get to be 7 or 8 years old. If they're saying any words at all, the whole criteria is on the website. As long as a child is making some sounds, doesn't have to be words even, just some noises that they're trying to get something to come out of their mouth at when they want to, not when you ask them. These are all on their terms, okay? These are independent skills. Child's able to make some sounds themselves. They're able to learn from you. Like they've learned visually through demonstration or whatever how to pick up trash, potty train, hold your hand in the parking lot. They know that you are capable of teaching them when they're in a good mood and they want to learn. And your child is able to intentionally come to you to communicate things, tell you how they feel or what they want with their behaviors. And if a child is doing those three things, then the only other criteria is for parents, because it's just your habits and situations in your household that are blocking the process. Every child who demonstrates just those three things is able to use independent spoken language when they are taught by a language facilitator. So my job is to train you to be your child's language facilitator so you can learn the whole process yourself. And that's how it works. So more suggestions to help him recover. If you want to learn for free, you can go to the website, to the YouTube channel right here in the playlist that's called Get Started with Language Facilitation here. And you can start there and just keep watching videos because there are strategies in every single one of my videos throughout the whole every one of these 300 videos is something's in there that you can learn from. So if you have no money to invest in even the book, then you can learn. But all of these resources work together. Following me on these Q&A sessions, asking questions like Sujata, so you understand where I can send you to get more information and learn strategies, because you can't just learn how to teach your child in one video. You have to pile these skills onto yourself, match with the skills you already have that are working for you, and learn to replace the things that aren't working, like prompting your child and forcing them to talk and all of that stuff. Thank you again for everybody who's joining me both live and on the replay. I'll see you all on my next video. Bye for now.
Thanks everybody for tuning in today. I hope this content has inspired you to create your own positive language facilitation action plan for this week. If you enjoyed this broadcast, you're in luck. There are tons of resources across our Waves of Communication platform, all designed to help you teach your child to talk. My book, If It Isn't Fun, It Isn't Fun, available on Amazon, and my coaching programs, including a free 90-minute introductory class. Learn about everything we do for language facilitators on our website, wavesofcommunication.com.